Welcome to Community Lutheran Church's podcast, Bridges of Belief, being God's presence in a hurting world by accepting all people as we are created. Together, we'll create a stronger community and a church renewed. For this inaugural Bridges of Belief podcast, we're talking with Pastor Kyrus Graham, who has been leading our church with wisdom, compassion, and a deep commitment to inclusivity. I'm your host, Lee Trueheart. Pastor Kyrus, before I get into the nuts and bolts, would you start by sharing a little bit about your journey to becoming a pastor and what brought you here to Community Lutheran Church?
Okay, that could take a while because I've been ordained since Jesus was an
Just a
infant,
little boy.
right? But long story short, I was raised in a religious family that was sadly very fundamentalist in belief as far as hating other people, right? Because it was Bible-based bigotry. So when I was in my late teens, I left organized religion because I saw oftentimes the pain that religion does to other people, right? So when I was a new graduate out of college, kind of young, I was 19 years old, and I was working in the radio industry and newspaper industry. And there was a little church that was a mission congregation of what was then known as the American Lutheran Church. And the mission pastor, Pastor Lilly, invited me to his congregation every week, of which I refused. And so he had me come to his office then every Monday to pick up an ad so that he could purchase some publication exposure. Long story short, I said, do I really have to come get this ad from you every week? Like, I have other clients. And he said, I tell you what, if you come to one worship service, I promise you, you don't have to pick up this ad anymore. I'm like, fine, whatever. So I did. And that is truly when my life was changed. It was changed in college as well. The president of the university asked me out of the blue to reinstate worship services, coordinating with all the pastors in this little town where I attended college at Texas Woman's University.
Wow.
And I told the president, I'm sorry, ma'am, I don't believe in God. And she said, that's exactly why you're going to be doing it. So I've always had this tenuous relationship with religious people, but I also managed to be surrounded by God's love, by people who saw not a judgmental God, but a loving God. And that's when my narrative and understanding about God flipped. And so I felt called to seminary, and I went to Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. And then I studied in a place called Tübingen, Germany. And then I took my first two pastoral experiences in Seattle, one in the heart of downtown Seattle. So that's how I've ended up here. I served as a military chaplain for more than 30 years, active in reserve, Navy, and Air Force. And I have done a lot of parish work too. I came right here to Delaware to go fishing. And I'm not fishing for what I thought I was fishing for when I moved on the surf here, but I'm fishing for people, hopefully, again, being God's loving presence in a hurting world where we include all of God's people. And we do it with love, not judgment.
Thank you. Thank you.
Was that quick enough?
That was great. What makes Community Lutheran Church unique in your eyes?
Community Lutheran Church is very unique because when I walked in there 2 years ago, it had a whole different dynamic. It was an aging congregation. It was dying. It was one group of people. And what makes community today, 2 years fast forward, we have changed so much, is that we were intentional from the get-go of being a reconciling congregation. That means in co-talk of the Lutheran Church that we are open to all of God's people. And we did some things to help make that happen. We started attending LGBTQIA events in Sussex County. We started hosting people who helped others understand God's word and how it's been manipulated over time to hate LGBTQIA people. We started advertising through Hook how to include all of God's people and let people know who we are. And so That's the DNA that makes Community Lutheran different. That's how we've changed. We've gone from, again, a congregation of 40 to almost 200 people within 2 years, and we are growing.
That's great.
And we don't just say we're welcome. There are some churches out there, of course, you know, Lee, that say, oh, we're a welcoming church, but then you get in there, they want to change you, they want to convert you, they want to just take your money but not have a vote because of your sexuality. But for us, we really mean it. And it is so into our DNA. It doesn't matter the age. It doesn't matter who you love. It doesn't matter who your race is. It doesn't matter what mistakes you make. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. You are genuinely welcome to that community.
Very nice. How would you respond to someone who has felt excluded by faith churches in the community in the past?
Those are my people, right?
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that we have to remember is that Jesus was radically inclusive, right? When religious people, and there were religious
I guess
people
so.
in Jesus's day that shunned other people, when religious people want to do that, that's a major problem because it goes against Jesus, right? And, you know, being Lutheran, I don't memorize scripture, so I have little cheat sheets to remind me. But I think it is important to remember there's a passage in Galatians where we're told this passage. In Jesus Christ, there is neither Greek nor Jew, male nor female, right? Slave nor free, for we are all one in Jesus Christ. And my
Yeah.
favorite part is that is based on Jesus when he started doing his ministry for 30-something years. He's out and about. But where does he go? Does he go in the temple with the religious people? Absolutely not. He says, you know, y'all are pretty corrupt in here. And so I'm going to go out among God's people. I'm going to go along with the Samaritan woman. Who was an outcast because of her gender, because of where she was from. Oh, by the way, she didn't go to the temple either, right? But he loved her up right where she was. He went among the leopards, the blind, the poor. He went among the people that oftentimes religious people cast aside as less than. And we forget the words of Jesus as we're out and about. So people have struggles with faith. Good. Oftentimes I'll be somewhere, Lee, and people will usually say to me, you know, I'm not a religious person, but,
Right.
and I say, neither am I. You know, and here I am in my collar, but the harm that has been done in the name of God and the holy and creator is reprehensible.
Yes.
So,
Thank you for that. Why do you think a progressive church is such a vital part of faith and worship? How does that affect the surrounding community? Or how are we affecting
You know, I have to snicker a bit with the word progressive because at first I would want to define what does that mean, right?
Right.
So progressive, I think, what does it mean to be a church that includes people in
Right.
our surrounding community? What the sad part of that statement says to me, Lee, is that there are code words. And a code word would be progressive. And because we end up in these silos like red and blue, conservative, liberal, rather than it's a code to say you're going against perhaps the grain right now, right? I'm going with what God says.
Right.
I am going with the countless scripture that says Jesus was DEI. Jesus
Yeah.
was for the tax collectors. Jesus was for the marginalized. 2 weeks ago, our lectionary even said, woe to the rich, right? It's not wealth that's bad. It's what we do with our wealth and do we
Absolutely.
share it, right? So progressive, I rejoice that, okay, call me what, call our church what it, you want to, but we're doing the work of Jesus. Call it progressive, call it whatever. It is the work of Jesus.
Yeah, that's true. Are there particular scriptures or teachings you turn to when life feels overwhelming?
Yeah, exactly. I think my latest one has been the Book of Psalms, right? And you know, also as I sit with people too, people are like, you know, I shouldn't doubt God, or I shouldn't be saying this as a person of faith. Guess what? That's normal. And I often turn people to the Psalms because the book of Psalms is full of complaints, weeping, gnashing of teeth, not just praise and rejoicing,
Right.
but for people who have been to the valley of shadow of death, right? And so it's okay to be those things. But Psalm 35 is one of my favorites. It says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And
Yeah.
it's really true. There's a lot of weeping going on because
Yes.
human rights are being washed away right now, right? People are being told they're less than love and so shouldn't be loved
Sure.
as much, or people are being erased right now. And so it can become very overwhelming. But at the end of the day, this time period is a twinkle in God's eye,
Right.
right? And just as the Israelites who came out of bondage and slavery, they too got to the other side. We will get to the other side. It
Yes.
might be painful. Matter of fact, it probably will be in the coming days.
Yeah.
But don't worry, the morning's coming.
Yes.
We are Easter people. We believe in the resurrection of in the power of Jesus Christ.
That's true. What does grace mean to you, and how do you see it shaping as how we live as individuals and within the community of where we are and our church?
Being a pastor, I would want to turn it back to you. I wonder what grace means for you and for everyone today. I'd
Yeah.
start there. Grace for me in my own life, I think back of the times that I was loved, that I was unlovable. And I can't talk about grace if I don't draw on those times. The hot water I get into in life is when I forget. And I judge other people and I forget, uh-oh, I'm in need of God's grace too. I will never forget, I mentioned to you when I joined this little congregation, Mission Church in Flower Mound, Texas, that an assistant to the bishop, Chloe Reynolds, who was also a member of that congregation, she and her husband loved me up. And when I was, I think in many ways, I was a teenager. I was a terror. And they showed me what grace was, that no matter the voice I had, no matter what I look like, no matter the biggest thing, no matter the mistakes I made or the harm I did to others, which I did.
Sure, everybody does.
Right. But they showed me grace in the middle of that. And that's what I don't understand right now, how so many people can't be showing others grace. But I think what's in the middle of that is folks have forgotten that they don't deserve goodness. They don't deserve anything without God's grace because we
Yes.
all make mistakes, right? We all need to share that radical love with other people. And there's a void there. There's a self-reflection emptiness that is present in folks who are so busy hating people that there is no room for saying, you know, I remember a time in my own life when I was mean, you know, bullied by other
Sure.
people. I forgot that what that felt like, right?
Right.
Empathy. So for me, that is grace. Grace is remembering where I've come from, remembering how God has loved me so much, and wanting to share that with others.
Thank you. Yeah, grace is something that I think we all need at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's so much hate out there.
The Greek word for grace is charis.
Wow. Is that why you have your name?
No, actually, my mom and dad had seen a Bible study group by the name of Charis, and they had no idea what it meant until I went to
That's funny.
seminary. And Dr. Boyce, who was my Greek instructor, was always saying Charis this, Charis that. I was thinking he was calling on me, but he was actually reading the Greek scripture. And so, yeah, it means grace or gift of God. Literally translated, grace means gift of God.
Well, I know to our church, we feel that. So
Yeah. Oh, it's pretty special. Every time I hear these stories, I'm just like, wow, that is
that's
awesome.
really neat. I bet you a lot of people had no idea on that one. That's really interesting. So someone thinking about visiting, what can they expect when they walk through our doors for the first time?
When I reflect on visiting or the conversations after visiting with people who come to our doors, through our doors, there are two things that people say they automatically feel. They feel a sense of peace and they feel like they're home, which those
Yes.
two say to me, I feel like I belong. And we don't have any real formalized, one of the things, first things I did was blow up the quote traditional liturgy, because so much of what the Lutheran Church, which by the way is 98% white culture, it's
Right.
European culture, right? But it also became a barrier to all of God's people. It was like you had to know the hocus pocus before you went in there. When do I cross? When I stand up? When I sit down? What's a hymn? I don't know this song. And there were all these barriers to the gospel. In today's world, we got to tear those barriers down, right? And so, but do it with mindfulness of the theological meaning.
Right.
So hopefully, when people come into God's house at community, they're going to feel, wow, people are really sharing the peace here. They really want to get to know me. I am a valued person. And right now we're undergoing another transformation here. We want our worship space to reflect that openness moving forward, right? So it's an exciting period, and I hope people feel at the get-go that this is their congregation. They don't have to belong, as I am known for saying, they don't have to belong 5 years or 20 years.
Right.
They can belong, be a disciple. I don't even like the term member. They can be a disciple for 5 minutes, and their voice matters just as much as someone has been there all the way.
That's great. It takes in the fact that all the disciples in Jesus' eyes were all the same,
Yes.
no matter when they came in.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, how much Bible you have. The exciting thing about community church too right now is that so many people come from so many different faith paths or
Yes.
no faith paths. We have Roman Catholics, UCC, no faith, Methodist, Presbyterian, I don't know what all else, but people just come as they are. And it's the mission of what we do, not the
Right.
denominational branding for what we
Right.
do.
Well, lately that branding has had a bad name.
Yes, sadly, it has. Yes.
Well, you actually answered one of them. Do you have to be Lutheran? Obviously, you do not.
No,
So that's
absolutely. And I think even though we don't say, you have to be Lutheran to
yeah,
be
no.
a quote member anymore, I think we have some pretty cool theology. And people say, okay, what do Lutherans believe? And I can get it done here, right here in 60 seconds. We are saved, we are justified by our faith alone in Jesus Christ. That's it. We don't have to
That's,
work. We
yeah.
don't have to earn brownie points to earn God's love. We don't have to go through a priest to receive the sacraments. We don't
Yes.
have to go to someone that's in the church in leadership to be able to pray to God. It is basically our faith alone that justifies us. That's it.
You know, that's less than 60 seconds, and if you want to
Okay.
picture. What's the one thing you hope listeners will take away from these conversations that we're starting with the podcasts?
Well, I thank you. Hats off to you for starting this big time, because there's so many things that keep people back from people of faith, right? It's like they're allergic to people of faith. And I get it,
Yeah,
right?
right.
When I see someone who comes to my door, like the other day, I called a local electrician, and he comes to my door with the biggest, blingiest cross on his chest. And I was like, whoa, close that door, close it. And I don't mean it because I don't like the cross. I want to, there's a quote, proclaim the gospel at all times, and if needed, use words. I don't need to see a cross to know a person is a person of faith, right? So what would I say to people who are struggling, who are debating whether or not to come to church? First, try us out, but come as you are. Like, I don't need crosses. I don't need the things of the past that remind us that we're churchy, right? Because I too, even as a pastor, will run and hide and flee because so much harm has been and is being done in the name of the holy right now. In a guise, under a guise of a God that is not the God of Scripture,
Correct.
right? So that would be my invitation to everybody today. Just come check us out. And here's the other thing. I love coffee. And I was at Kisa Coffee this past week a few times already, and we're only on Wednesday. And I love it when I go in there because now that's our congregation in there. These are
Yes.
people who don't come to community church, but we end up talking about God and God's kingdom. We talk about God and our families, God when we're out painting homes, God that we experience driving to the coffee shop. That is church. Church is not a building.
Correct.
Church is a group of people who have faith in Jesus Christ. And that too is a big thing. From here on, everything we are doing is outwardly focused. Everything. And that means our meetings will be moving into the community. We're starting small groups, right? We have a food pantry that meets twice a month, every Tuesday morning. We have an LGBTQIA ministry. Now we have this wonderful podcast, which is great outreach into our community. But we are many things, but we are not our building.
Correct. Which also so says the fact that you were talking about the redoing of the inside of the building to make it more welcome. So it's not a traditional. It's what people need,
Where they are.
where they are.
That's what Jesus was out and about. Like he was where the religious did not want to go, and he loved them. Isn't that what we should be doing as people of God?
Oh, great. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So today we've we visited a lot of different things on grace and the God's word, and our church is at 309 308 97 Omar Road in Frankfurt. Right now there's construction, so you may need to find a Duke's Road to go around it. But we have church at 8:45 and 10:30 on Sundays, and we have we're starting small groups. And but if you need coffee, we have some in the sanctuary. I mean, in the Luther Hall right afterwards. But we would love to see you and welcome you to our church. We can be found online at HTTPS colon forward forward slash bridgebuilder dot church. And we also stream it.
Yeah, live
We
stream,
both
both
services, both
services. You
services.
bet.
So thank you, Pastor
Yeah,
Curtis. We appreciate it.
you're
And any
welcome.
last words before we leave?
Yeah, you know, and if for those of you who are in the community and have friends who are Spanish speaking, we also have an
Oh,
English
okay.
as a
Yep.
second language on Thursdays. And you know, this is important too. Right now, a lot of people are living in fear. Let's be real. There are a lot of us living in fear right now, but that's sadly what some people want. And you know what? We're not alone in this. So if you want to be loved up or you have friends who are struggling, let us be your safe space, no matter your background.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lee.
We'll talk with you soon. Thanks for joining us. And next week, we'll be talking with Pastor Earl.